Hi, this is Ray Hodeb calling in to the Mad Money Machine voicemail line. Just wanted to say I think the Mad Money Machine is the best podcast I've ever heard. Congratulations to you, Paul Douglas Boyer, on a wonderful, fantastic show that I never miss. Gotta go now. My wife Deborah's calling me to dinner. We're having some organic vegetables today for dinner. They're going to be yummy. I recommend you go out to Whole Foods and get some more vegetables. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Mad Money Machine, Show 71, Middle of July. Nah, thank you, Ray Hodeb, for that call. I appreciate you listening. And right off the top, I'd like to say congratulations to Index Funds Advisors for passing the $1 billion with a B dollar mark on assets under management. Well, I wonder how many other CEOs, CFOs, CIOs, especially, from other companies, all the companies around the world, are also posting anonymous postings on various forums about their own companies. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't like this anonymity on the internet thing. As you can tell, I use my real name at the various forums I sign up for. Diehards.org/forum, for example, I use Paul Douglas Boyer as my username. And similarly, at the Yahoo forums, I use Paul Douglas Boyer as my username, Paul D. Boyer. And at Facebook, my ID is Paul Douglas Boyer. Which reminds me to tell you that I've just created a new group at Facebook called Mad Money Machine. And the way to get to it is easy. Just point your browser to madmoneymachine.com/Facebook. And you'll get redirected to the Mad Money Machine group. I encourage you to go out and let's see what we can do with it. I'm not sure what really to do with it, but let's just see what happens with it. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 71 is, oh, a two-time winner, William Bernstein. William Bernstein came up on the roulette wheel on show 25. And he has come up again, so I get a chance to talk a little bit more about his work. His first book was called The Intelligent Asset Allocator. And it's sort of an investing 301 series, maybe, or 201. If you want an investing 101, then you need to get his second book called The Four Pillars of Investing. But there is something so good at the very beginning of this Intelligent Asset Allocator. And I want to particularly thank Garen for writing me to ask me to talk about this example in his book. In the very first chapter, Bernstein asks you to imagine that you work for your rich but eccentric Uncle Fred. He's a conscientious and kind employer, and he decides to let you in on the company pension plan. To imagine that you're going to work for your Uncle Fred for 35 years. Every year, Uncle Fred will contribute $5,000 to your retirement account, and you must pick ahead of time one of two investment choices for the duration of your employment. Option one is put it in a CD with a 3% annualized rate of return, or option two, which is a peculiar option, at the end of each year, Uncle Fred will flip a coin. Heads, you get 30% investment return for that year. Tails, you lose 10% for the year. So the first choice gives you a fixed rate of return, and you're absolutely certain at the end of 35 years how much you'll have. You'll have $302,310. But if inflation is 3%, then you'll only be left with $107,436. $1 of current spending power. But the second choice kind of confuses you at first. The thought of losing 10% of your hard-earned money with the toss of a coin is too much to bear. What if you have a string of losing years? If you get tails all 35 years, you'd be left with only a pittance of your retirement. On the other hand, if you get heads all 35 years, you know that you will bankrupt old poor Uncle Fred with your gains. He will owe you $162 million. But Bernstein goes in and looks a little more closely at this second choice. He says, over a long enough period, you should get exactly half heads and half tails if it's a fair coin. And you can represent this with an alternating series of heads and tails, and then your return in each two-year period could be represented by 1.3, that's 30%, multiplied by 0.9, that's the loss of 10%, which equals 1.17. So a 17% return at the end of 2 years is about the same as an annual return of 8.17%. That's due to compounding. Now, that was a clearly superior choice to the 3% of the first option. Of course, you could have a string of bad luck and get tails more than half the time. In fact, if you'd have to get tails 23 times and heads 12 times before you come out worse than the first option. And so you decide the odds of this are happening are quite low, of getting 23 tails and only 12 heads. In fact, the odds of that happening are less than 5%. Actually, this is a bit of an oversimplification. The order of the coin tosses matters a great deal. If you toss 16 straight heads and then 19 straight tails, you still come out behind. But if you toss 27 straight tails followed by 8 straight heads, you'll actually come out ahead. So you want to get gains later in the cycle. And there's a graph that Bernstein shows, which is a probability distribution. It looks like a bell-shaped curve. Skipping on ahead to chapter 3, Uncle Fred makes you another offer. At the end of each year, he will divide your pension account into two equal parts and conduct a separate coin toss for each half. Now you realize that there are four possible outcomes for two coin tosses, each with an equal probability. Outcome one is heads and heads, would give you a total return of plus 30%. Outcome two is heads and tails, which gives you a total return of plus 10%. Outcome three is tails and heads, also plus 10%. Or outcome four is tails, total return of minus 10%. Since each of these four possible outcomes is equally likely, and in a representative four-year period, you'll have one of each outcome in the long term, statistically, you find that your account will increase by a factor of 1.3, that's the 30%, multiplied by 1.1, that's one of the 10%, another 1.1, another 10%, and a 0.9, that's losing 10%, which equals 1.4157, and then you calculate that over 4 years, that comes out to an annualized return of 9.08%, which is nearly a full percentage point higher than your previous expected return of 8.17 with only one coin toss. Even more amazingly, you realize that your risk has been reduced. With the addition of two returns at the mean of 10%, your calculated standard deviation is now only 14% as opposed to the 20% for a single coin toss. Wise old Uncle Fred has introduced you to the most important concept in portfolio theory, which is dividing your portfolio between assets with uncorrelated results increases return while decreasing risk. And this seems too good to be true, Bernstein writes. The key word here is uncorrelated. The result of the first coin toss in no way influences the result of the second coin toss. And of course, that's very difficult to find uncorrelated investments in the real world. And of course, we do want to look for investments that have positive returns. But the point of the story is you should divide up your entire investment portfolio into parts that are uncorrelated to both increase return and decrease risk. That's why we talk about these index folios, like we have the Index Folio 100, that divides the money into large cap, small cap, international, REITs, emerging markets. We're trying to find uncorrelated assets. Congratulations once again, William Bernstein. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show number 71. Well, Mad Men Machine is sponsored and proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. IFA.com is the place to point your web browser for more information. And there was an article on their website the other day that I wanted to share with you. It says, "What's new from Humberto Cruz?" And the IFA website says, "As seen in Humberto Cruz's nationally syndicated column, The Savings Game, in January of 2007, there was a question asked, we have used a financial planner for years. His annual fee, based on the amount of money we invest, is now several thousand dollars. Should we dump the planner and purchase index funds instead? We don't have time to monitor our investments day to day. And the answer from Humberto Cruz is, as much as I like index funds, it's not an either-or question between using them or a financial planner. Many fee-only planners, those who are paid a fee rather than commissions on products, use low-cost index funds for their clients' portfolios. These planners' job is to recommend and monitor the asset allocation based on each client's goals and risk tolerance." And then he continues, "And planners more than earn their keep when they help investors stick to the disciplined long-term plan during market declines. From your question, I gather you're not too happy with your investment results and or your investment expenses, including the planner's fee, and figure you can do better with index funds. That may be, but you still have to choose an asset allocation and monitor it periodically to make sure it remains appropriate." And he goes on to recommend that you can get valuable information at indexfunds.com. And if you'd like to speak to an advisor, as referred to as in Humberto Cruz's article, call Index Funds Advisors toll-free at 888-643-3133. 888-643-3133. It's the seventh month, so it's time for the seventh step, which is silent partners. And here we try to recognize the partners in your returns. There are partners that subtly take a large slice of your investment return. In taxable accounts, over a 15-year period, active investors only keep about 50% of their total return earned by their initial investment. Meanwhile, investors in index funds over the same period keep about 85% of the total return by maintaining tight controls over the silent and often invisible partners of high fees, expenses, cash drag, taxes, transaction costs, and others. By minimizing the costs of these silent partners, investors will increase their expected returns. So I'll bring in now Mark Hebner, the author of the book, Index Funds, a 12-Step Program for Active Investors. So Mark, how do we now identify and monitor these silent partners?
The first source of information on your silent partners, unfortunately for investors, is the prospectus that comes along with each mutual fund that you purchase. It's that thin piece of paper document that's probably 40 pages long with font sizes at about 5 points, which are very small and very difficult to read. The mutual fund companies like it that way because in that fine print are buried huge amounts of fees and expenses associated with the average mutual fund. Now, I say huge, everything's relative, but let me just try to quantify that for you. The average actively managed mutual fund have fees of about 1.5%. In contrast, if you were to buy an index fund, the average fees are about 0.5%, with many of these index funds being in the 0.1% range. So right off the bat, you have a huge advantage over the actively managed mutual fund just by the fact that you have substantially lower fees. Those fees benefits of an index fund drop right to your bottom line in improving your return over the actively managed fund. When you throw in all the previous problems we've talked about in previous podcasts of those active managers underperforming the market, But the other issues that are associated with mutual funds, the other silent partner, is the U.S. government and your local state taxes. The taxes incurred by investors through short-term trades are the largest component of your silent partner loss of your return. As we like to say, when you're an indexer, Uncle Sam is a lot sadder because your taxes are substantially less. Now, let's review that. How do you end up paying taxes? Well, you end up paying taxes because you actually recognize a gain in your portfolio. An investment manager sold a stock at a gain. Well, if he did that in a short period of time, you're going to pay short-term capital gains rates, which are the same as your ordinary income rates, which can be, depending on what state you're in, between 35 up to 45% of the gain. So between the high fees and the high taxes associated with active management, you're far behind the starting line in terms of trying to capture the market rate of return right from the beginning. In one study, John Bogle at Vanguard took a look at an investment of, let's say, I think it was $10,000. He tracked that over a 15-year period just to give investors an estimate of how much of the returns they actually get to keep from the returns generated from their money. In an actively managed mutual fund, the investor's $10,000 grew to $49,000, whereas in a market index fund, that same $10,000 grew to $90,000. In other words, the indexer kept 87% of the money earned by their money, where the actively managed mutual fund only allowed their investors to keep 47%, a dramatic difference of 40% in the return of the index fund simply by minimizing the silent partners in their returns.
How do you recommend that investors compare and research fees prior to investing?
Well, there are a number of sources of fee information. Morningstar is right on the internet, easy for you to get to. Microsoft Money has got a nice little sorter where you can put in different mutual fund symbols and get a look at fees there as well. But the simple thing for you to do is just forget about actively managed funds and go take a look at index funds. But I must also add here that there are a wide range of fees among index funds. Some of the large major brokerage houses have index funds as well, but they charge fees in the 1% range. And so the last thing you want to do is buy an S&P 500 index fund at a 1% fee when you can go to Fidelity or Vanguard and get that same S&P 500 index fund at a 10 or 15 basis point fee. That's a 0.1 or 0.15 or 0.18 type of fee. So that is an important issue. You should be well aware of fees no matter what you're buying, and Morningstar and Microsoft are a good source for that information.
And in terms of taxes, we see they make a big difference. Is there any way to figure it out ahead of time, or do you have any strategies there?
Yes. One of the great measures estimating your taxes is to look at what's called the turnover ratio of these funds. The turnover ratio basically explains how many stocks are bought and sold within a one-year period. And if you were to look in 2005, just as a contrast, if you bought just a S&P 500 index fund from Schwab, for example, the turnover was only 3% per year. That means only 3% of the stocks in that portfolio were bought and sold over that period. But if you looked at something like the Rock Canyon Top Flight Fund, their turnover was almost 5,000%. That means they're just buying and selling stocks all day, every day in your portfolio, and it's just horrid. On average, though, the average actively managed mutual fund turns over their portfolio approximately 100%, meaning that all the stocks owned at the beginning of the year have been sold and new stocks purchased by the time of the end of the year comes around. Once again, remember, because of these short-term trades, the taxes generated and distributed to investors will all be short-term capital gains. Consequently, they'll keep on average probably about 60% of the returns generated due to those short-term trades. And so that's an almost impossible hurdle for investment managers to get over. But I want to know how many of you have actually gone out and adjusted your year-end returns. This is an amazing question amazing problem, in that people rarely get a good look at their after-tax returns. It's buried somewhere in their tax return. They don't have any idea what it was, and it gets mixed in with all their other information and their taxes. And so this just highlights a real important point, and that is few investors really know what returns they're earning in the market. And not only is it hard to calculate just your regular return, but to add to that the taxes that you paid on your portfolio, it gets even more complicated. And I haven't met an investor yet who could give me a clear picture of their after-tax, after-fee, after-all silent partner return.
So if we know the fees and we can estimate the taxes, what's the best way to mitigate the risks of both?
Well, the best way to mitigate the risk is just to avoid it. There are many vehicles for you to virtually minimize your taxes and fees, and those are simply index funds. And so the wise investors will stop the feast by the investment community. This investment community is essentially feasting on your funds. And the best way for you to stop that is not to buy actively managed funds of any kind, and just buy a simple index fund, and minimize all the silent partners who are trying to get a piece of your pie.
Thanks a lot, Mark. That wraps it up for step 7 in the 12-step program for active investors. For more information and sources, go to ifa.com. Time now for Guitar Hero 2 update. I have been stalled pretty much in Guitar Hero. I've made it through hard, but I haven't got 5 stars on every song in hard still. I'm trying to work my way through that. It is difficult. And I am stuck in expert on the song Freya again, just like I was in the hard setting. And I really don't think I can ever get past this song now. It's just way too repetitive. I'm stretching the first and fourth fingers on my hand, left hand, all the way from the green to the orange and blue keys together, I think, or blue and yellow. You have to hit green and orange, then blue and yellow, green, orange, and blue and yellow. And it might be just too much work. Therefore, I'm looking forward to Rock Band coming out in the fall, I suppose, Christmas time frame. Now, this is basically Guitar Hero turned into an entire band, where you have multiple people all playing together. Someone on lead guitar, someone on bass, even someone on drums, and someone singing the vocals. They apparently provide a microphone with the game, and the words scroll by on the top of the screen along with the voice signal that you're trying to match. and the game somehow recognizes the pitch that you're voicing into the microphone and gives you credit for singing the lyrics at the right time. And they apparently say in the press release for the game that if you can play the drums on the hard setting, then you're really playing the drums.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. In the morrows that they worship, we'll be gone.
And you apparently do get a drum kit with wooden drumsticks, and you beat on these pads to hit the percussion. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So in the checking out the competition segment, there's a couple of podcasts that I've been listening to. They're both also ranked in the top 25 of the iTunes investing category, and have been so since their inception, pretty much. One of them is a financial advisor who recently talked about mutual funds, buying mutual funds, and how, yeah, for large cap mutual funds, go ahead and buy an index fund. But because the markets are not efficient in small cap and in international, you need to go out and buy an actively managed fund in small cap and international funds. And to that I say, hogwash, that an actively managed fund can regularly, consistently, and over the long term beat a small cap or an international index. It just isn't true. Now, why would someone say this? Let's think about the reasons someone would suggest that you buy an actively managed fund. Let's see, if they are an investment manager, then they get people to invest with them, and perhaps they have accounts for you at some actively managed funds, and perhaps do they get a commission on selling you that fund? Okay, on another podcast out in the iTunes Investing Top 25 that I listened to recently. This guy was an active trader, and he said he was talking about the iPhone, the Apple iPhone, and how this is a great little device, and as soon as it hits the market, you need to buy put options on the Apple stock, because he says, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. In other words, you buy on the rumor of the iPhone, and when it comes out and everybody gets a little bit disappointed by it maybe, then you sell the stock because it's going to come down. Oh, if only rules like that were always true, then we could always make money in the markets, couldn't we? And all I've got to say is that anyone that bought a put on Apple stock the day the iPhone came out didn't lose 10% or 20% of their money. They lost 100%. They lost it all on that silly strategy. Trading and active trading is a fun game, isn't it? But it is not one that you can beat the markets with. And active trading is fun for mutual fund and hedge fund managers too. These guys are gamblers. They like to play hold'em poker. They like to go to the racetrack. And they love betting on stocks, especially when it's with your money, not theirs. They only make money when you invest with them. They don't lose money. You do. Well, since everybody apparently loves talking about individual stocks, I want to talk about some great stocks to own now. Number one on my list is Quanta Services. And then Big Lots is another great one. How about Trinity Industries, Chaparral Steel, Kansas City Southern, Ohio Casualty Corp., and finally, Bob Evans Farm. These are all fantastic stocks for you to own. I don't want you to own any one of them. I want you to own all of them. And how do you get them?
Well, by buying the DFA US Small Cap Value Fund.
It owns a portion of all of those stocks and about 1,320 others that are all great companies to own for the long term. And that fund is included in each of the 20 portfolios, the index folios, at Index Funds Advisors. So what is it about the active investor that thinks they can really beat the market? Well, some do beat the market over the short term. And just like when you bang on a vending machine and something comes out without you putting any money in it, you're going to keep banging on that vending machine. It's the same with active investing. You plop your money down on a stock, it wins. You're going to keep plopping money down on a stock. The problem is most active investors don't keep track of their annual performance. They don't compare their performance against the benchmarks adequately enough. They might compare it to maybe just the Dow Jones, but they're not comparing it against a true portfolio of globally diversified funds. And they think they have to invest all this energy to make money. But quite the opposite is true. The less amount of energy you exert in trying to make money for your investments, the better off you'll be. Sure, watching horse races is fun. Playing Texas Hold'em is fun, and buying a stock or two can be fun. But betting your retirement portfolio on it, that's just silly. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes not being anonymous. It takes investing in Uncle Fred's option number 2, the multiple asset class portfolio, and it takes avoiding the silent partners to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next week. Visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com and take their risk capacity survey to help you pick the right portfolio for your investments. Please call the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763 and leave your voicemail message. And you can email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. And visit the new Facebook groups at madmoneymachine.com/Facebook. Some music on this show is provided by music.podshow.com.